The reading for our meditation today is taken from Acts chapter 4. This follows on a miraculous healing provided through the apostles. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I often carry a pen with me when I go to church so I can write down great statements that I hear in sermons. And years ago, I heard one that pertained to this text that I always loved. It was by Professor Reverend Jewel Madsen, and he said this: "The gospel is the most inclusive and exclusive doctrine." The gospel is the most inclusive and exclusive doctrine. And what he meant by that is seen, the exclusiveness of it is seen in the words of St. Peter today when he says, "Salvation is found in no one else. Getting to heaven is found in no other person or way or pathway besides Christ and what he's done for us." And we see this echoed throughout the scriptures. St. John says, "He who has the Son," meaning Christ, "has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life." It's as simple as that. St. Paul put it this way: "No one can lay any other foundation than Jesus Christ." Now, the world looks at the Christian church for proclaiming this, you as an individual Christian for believing this, and says, "How arrogant. How arrogant and judgmental of you to think that you alone have the one way for people to make it to heaven. How arrogant of you. You should be ashamed of yourself for thinking that way and teaching that and proclaiming that." So if a doctor truly does someday come up with the absolute cure to cancer, should he keep it to himself? Should he or she hide back in their laboratory and think, "Well, that would be arrogant of me to come out and proclaim that I have now found the answer to this dreadful disease"? We're often made to feel ashamed about that, and sometimes that even may make us in our world feel like we need to keep a little bit silent or be a little bit more cautious about what we teach. Dr. Walther, C.F.W. Walther, said that when God creates this faith in our hearts in Christ and we realize it's the only way to heaven, we should boldly proclaim, "I have the truth, I know it, I possess it, and I have it." Now, the world has tried to create a variety of different entrances into the huge fortress of heaven. It has tried to find various ways to penetrate that wall by things that human beings can do, using our hands and our fingers and fingernails to work our way through this massive wall into the kingdom of God. Have you ever seen artists that can paint doorways or windows onto the side of a building that look so realistic that people even walk up to them assuming they could go in? On Amazon right now, you can actually buy a piece of wallpaper to put on a blank wall to make it look like a beautiful door and probably even fool some people. This is what the world religions do when they come to us with other ideas and other entrances into the kingdom of heaven. Some of them look a lot more interesting and exciting than Christ does. Some of them look a lot easier for us to go through than it is for following Christ. But they're all just a painted illusion. There is no other name under heaven. And that means my name, and that means your name. That means that there's nothing in you or me that could ever penetrate that wall to get into heaven other than the name of Christ. Don't let anybody talk you into thinking that somehow it has something to do with you. Some religions like to say, well, yes, Christ has something to do with it, but there's also a part of that wall you have to break through by things you do. And then the two of you working together, you and Christ together, can make a hole in that wall to finally get into heaven. No, there's no other name that excludes you and me as well. Christ alone is the only one who can break through that wall. But the wonderful thing about this teaching is that it is the most inclusive doctrine. It holds its arms out to every possible sinner in the world. It invites and calls anybody in the world to come through this entrance that Christ has made into heaven. And that means that you can walk up to the most vile, atheistic, anti-Christian person, and you can know that the blood of Christ was shed for them to be able to enter heaven, that Christ has paid for their sins, and that you can invite them to come to that beautiful door of Christ to enter heaven. Listen to what St. John says. Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, speaking to believers, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. St. Paul says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And even though that sounds the most impersonal because it's speaking about the world, if you think about it, it makes it the most personal for you and me. Because if you're part of the world, and like Luther said, put your hand on your wrist and see if you got a pulse. If you're part of the world, that means that Christ has died for you, to shed his blood, to atone for all of your sins as well. And there's great comfort in this. Because no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad your past has been, despite whatever sin in your mind and conscience may make you afraid of judgment day someday, know this, that Christ has paid for it. He has paid your entrance fee, and he alone is your door into the kingdom of God in heaven. And you can see how inclusive Christianity is by the things that Jesus set up for us to use to bring people through that doorway. Just look at the things that he used: water, bread, wine, people speaking, humble little men that aren't any greater than anybody else, standing and proclaiming his word, the confession of Christians, things that you can find all around the world. I looked this up the other day. The most northern church in the world is Svalbard in Norway. It's on an island north of Norway. It's closer to the North Pole than it is to Norway. The most southern church in the world is a Christian chapel carved out of ice in Antarctica, 800 miles from the South Pole. Christ has come for all people, no matter where you live, and you can find the means of grace being used in his churches all around the world. He is the most inclusive doorway into heaven. The invitation is for absolutely everybody. And make sure that you don't miss that today. And yet at the same time, the Bible teaches us that Christ himself is a narrow gate. The invitation is for everyone in the world, but to go through Christ is a narrow gate. Why? Because it means checking your righteousness at the door. It means checking how good you think you might be that may somehow help you get into heaven. You got to leave that outside. It won't fit in the door. Christ alone is the righteousness we need. I've always loved that at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, they built a church about 300 years after the birth of Christ over the spot where they thought his manger was. And during the Crusades, because marauders would come in and ride their horses right into the church, they had to shrink the doorway down, so you almost have to crawl in to get inside of it. That's a beautiful picture of how to enter the kingdom of God in heaven. You have to humble yourself. You have to leave all your goodness at the door. You have to repent of all of your sins, knowing that it's only through Christ who shed his blood for you to pay for your entrance into heaven. That's how you now enter into the kingdom of heaven. What a blessing it is that you and I have been invited to that doorway, and by the work of the Holy Spirit have been taught to get down on our knees and to crawl through that doorway by God's grace alone, and to know what it's like now to be in the gracious kingdom of God in heaven. So how can God use you and me to invite other people to that wonderful one narrow door to heaven? Amen.